Welcome to minute 169 of season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we foobar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me for this final episode of this season on D-Day is Jay Kluwit of Life vs. Film. Welcome back to the show for the finale, Jay.
Hello, Rob. I survived. I'm one of the few to survive the film.
Well, I don't know.
Hooray, huzzah!
You have to get across that beach today, so we'll have to see how that goes.
We'll see how. Yes, yes. Actually, I will actually be going to the beach today. I will be very careful when I do, though. Don't worry.
Hopefully not Normandy.
No, certainly not.
Okay, that's a good thing. That's good. But if you drop any arms along the way, just pick them up.
I'll be sure to pick them up and make sure that they are mine.
That's right.
Don't you worry.
Yes. All right, so minute 169 begins with the end of the credits and ends with fade to black. So we don't have much screen time this particular minute. We have a total of about 20 seconds as things finish scrolling up the up the screen. We have the copyright at the beginning, and then as it continues, we get a notation that it's a Steven Spielberg film.
Knew it.
And then we get the about the fact that you're not allowed to duplicate the movie. It's sure. Protected under the laws, which is very nice.
Did it say anything about duplicating it, splitting up into minute long chunks, and emailing it all to your friends?
Thankfully, no.
That'll be very specific.
Yes, that would be very specific. And it's probably not something that anyone thought about in 1998, that there would be crazy. I mean, come on, even Alex and Pete only started in, was it 2011, 2012, something like that. So we're still 14 years away from someone thinking of this idea. So
has anyone been checking the copyrights in films made since then? It'd be great if those last few Star Wars films were like, you may not split this film into minutes and distribute amongst those you see fit. We're talking to you, Pete and Alice.
And the 300 people in the new community you created.
Hulk, yeah.
But on the other hand, I don't know. I sort of would say that this is good publicity for the movies that we do it this way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, again, yes, there are the people out there that do it in order to really tear a movie, a new one. But for those of us who love the movie and want to just discuss it more in detail, I think it's a way to get people to enjoy the movie more. That's my opinion. I could be wrong.
And I think the people who go into it with the like, hey, I hate this film, let's rip it apart, I'm going to guess for the most part they, by the end of the journey, have found more things to appreciate about the film than they did at the start. Like, over on Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, we did Deep Blue Sea, and towards the end of that, we're like, Deep Blue Sea 2 exists. Mark has seen it. I hadn't seen it. But we're like, there's 10 chapters on this thing. Shall we do 10 episodes on this as well? And we're like, yeah, fine. And then by the end of that run, we loved it. So we found so much stuff to enjoy about that film. We're going to do it again soon.
But then again, that's you and Mark. I mean,
we try to be quite positive people, especially when talking about films.
Exactly. So that's why I'm not sure if the people, I don't listen to usually to the podcasts of the people that are tearing a movie apart. I prefer the movies that like to talk. The podcasts that like to talk positively about movies. Even though there are people out there that sometimes don't like a particular movie, which again makes sense, it's perfectly allowed. No one has to like every movie, except the movies that we talk about.
Even when Mark was on this show, he told you, unprompted, the film he hates the most, which Larry Crown.
That's right.
It was relevant, but you asked him his top five favorite Tom Hanks, but you didn't say like, hey Mark, what's your worst Tom Hanks film? He just provided that information, which. Because that's how much he hates that film.
Right, which is fine, though. I don't have a problem with him doing that.
No. And it was like 20 seconds of a month's long run of minutes of this podcast. So it was a little tiny little bit, and he didn't dwell on it, and that's fine. And like over on Deep Blue Sea, we do often talk about shark movies that are not good, and we will discuss how they are not good, but we're still having fun with them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Yes,
we're not
exactly.
talking about it for 169 episodes, about the same movie. So,
Yes, I don't want to do 116 episodes on some of the shark films we've covered. That would be, well, by the end of it, I would probably find things to like about them. So, find
correct.
more stuff to appreciate.
Yes, which makes sense. I'm fine with that. So one of the things that it talks about in the copyright paragraph. So it says DreamWorks LLC and Paramount Pictures Corporation are the authors and creators of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws given effect thereto and for the purpose of copyright law in the UK. Which it's interesting that they mention the UK. Obviously, it just happens. I mean, it was filmed mostly there, but it's strange that, that they would only specify the UK here. But do you have any idea what the Berne Convention is?
Not a clue.
Did you have any idea that I was going to ask you
I didn't even read that bit. And it's the end of the credits. I'm not going to make notes on this.
Okay, so the Berne Convention was signed in 1886. Okay, so obviously it's not specifically about movies, but it's the Berne Convention for the Protection of Literary and Artistic Works. So obviously that's sort of where it fits in here. And
Okay.
it's been ratified by 181 states out of 195 countries in the world. So there are only 14 countries in the world that don't hold by this Berne Convention of trying to make sure, to keep copyright and stuff like that. Now, do you have any idea what those 14 countries possibly are? Any guesses?
I don't really follow the copyright rules of various countries across the world.
Okay,
So,
where would you think most of these countries are located? How's that? In what geographical parts of the world?
we're talking about countries that are not very litigious or extremely litigious. I'm not following South America? I don't know. Just guessing a continent.
Actually, there's from what I see on this list, there's not a single one in South America. Everyone in South America agrees to it.
Asia.
There are a few Asian ones, but it's mostly Africa.
Okay, fine.
So I'll just quickly go through the list. You have Angola, Eritrea, Ethiopia. You have what else from Africa? The Sierra Leone, Somalia, South Sudan. Then the other ones. The ones from Europe, from Asia that we talked about. So we have Taiwan, Papua New Guinea, Palau, which I only know about because of I've seen the Pacific numerous times.
I haven't seen it once, so I know nothing about that country.
You still have to go see it. You still have to watch that. Myanmar, the Marshall Islands, and then Iran and Iraq. And then you have one European, I don't know if it's even a country, you have Kosovo. Kosovo a country these days? I don't know. So yeah, there are all these countries that don't abide by. So if you want to find a place that doesn't abide by copyright laws, you can go to one of those countries.
Okay,
I
noted.
don't know what the internet connection is like in those sub places, so yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they've got a high speed broadband somewhere.
Probably. Probably.
One cable going through.
Could be. So again, it's just very strange that it does say copyright law of the UK. You have any idea why? I don't know the answer to this. You have any idea why they would specifically mention the UK here? Is it because copyright law is stricter in the UK? I don't know.
And other than it's where the film was filmed predominantly, that's the only reason I could think. Maybe it's based on that. Well, that's where they took out the rights to it. I don't know. I don't know. Pass.
Right. Okay. No, I don't know the answer to that either. Just it's just one of those strange things,
Sure.
because it's This is purely an American movie. I mean, there's no DreamWorks is an American company and everything like that. So why? I mean, I know that it was filmed in Ireland. It was filmed on some of the coasts of the UK and stuff like that, and in France. But then, my interpretation would be that okay, let's add France to it or whatever, United Kingdom and France, or something to that effect. But apparently not. What can I tell you? And then the credits continue with a few more things, and we are given that it is distributed by DreamWorks Distribution LLC, and then fade to black. That's it.
To black.
Fade to black, and we have finished yet another season and another movie.
Congratulations.
Going through this. Thank you very much. Thank you. For anyone keeping track, that is 1049. That is the number of episodes that I've done so far. And looking forward to moving into the next season with the next ones. So
Yes.
we will now do what we always do at the end of every season. I'm gonna have Jay try and guess what my guesses are going to be for my daily. For my daily segments, and also for him to try and guess, what movies got the most votes or the most points in the voting system. Even though, as Jay knows, there are a few people who cheated along the way, but it wouldn't have really the cheating that they did doesn't really make any difference. It wouldn't make any difference in the way that this is all tabulated.
You're getting more lax on your allowing cheating, I think.
Yeah, I
I
don't know.
guess it depends on the guest, but there's sometimes you're like, no, one film at number one, one film at number two. But there we are.
I guess it depends on who it is and the situation. I don't know. So in other words, so that's a little bit of your constructive criticism that in the future
No,
I
it's
should
fine.
be
It's
more of
fine.
a I need to be more adamant. One number one.
I'm absolutely fine with people having as many films as they want at every rank of their list. So this is entirely based on your spreadsheet.
Correct. All right. So let's start with Monday's segment, which is Maestro Monday.
Maestro Monday, yes. Yeah,
So first of all,
so
how many movies, before you even start that, I actually this time also tabulated how many movies are in each, were used as guesses. So how many
okay.
movies do you think are on the list for Maestro Monday?
Now, well, John Williams has done at least five scores in his time, so that makes this tricky. This would be an easier question for the films of
John McTiernan.
John McTiernan. I'm gonna say, I'm gonna say 25 different films.
28. Very good. Very good. Very
28. Okay, I'll take that. Okay, and do you want to guess your top five first or the
good. Go
collated.
with my top five first. That probably makes a little
Okay.
more sense.
I have tried to prepare these in advance for once. So
And
I feel like Jurassic Park.
I sometimes catch myself during the course of the season. I don't know if you notice it, where I'm sort of giving away information, and then I go, uh-oh, I'm giving Jay information that I shouldn't be giving.
I gotta wait till the last episode.
Gotcha.
I feel like you want to retain our friendship, so Jurassic Park is your number five. Then I know that you're a fan of Empire of the Sun. Just based on listening to this series, so for Empire of the Sun at number four, Jaws at number three, Raiders of the Lost Ark at number two, and I think you like Star Wars, so I put that at number one. I haven't clarified which Star Wars. You may have more than one Star Wars in there. I don't know. That's not something I can comment on, because they all sound the same to me. So I just put Star Wars in at number one.
Do they really?
Yes, I
Wow.
can't. I think we've talked about this before, where like people say, "Oh, there's like a Princess Leia's theme and the Falcon theme." It's like, no, there's like
But
a couple
there's
of Star
some
Wars
that stand out.
themes
There are some that really stand out in
to
my
some
opinion.
people.
Okay. All
Like,
right.
there's the Imperial March, and there's a bit that plays over the opening crawl, and then there's just the rest of the film. I'm not
Okay.
good at picking out songs. I'm very bad at it.
So you did get 4 out of 5 of them.
Great.
Not in the same, not in the right order, but you did get four. Wait, we got 4 out of 5 or 3 out of 5? Oh no, sorry, you got three out of 5.
Oh,
Sorry,
you're
sorry, sorry.
giving.
One of
Just
them
take it away.
just missed. That's right. One of them just missed.
Okay.
Okay, so which two are you taking off the list?
I'm not, Rob. That's my five. We're not gonna keep guessing until I have the exact list. That's not what's happening. I've told you
Okay,
my guess.
fine,
How
fine, fine.
far? How right was I?
Okay, so my number five is the theme for Superman.
Okay, sure.
Okay, my number four is the theme for Schindler's List.
I always forget Schindler's List. Yeah, okay.
My number three is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay.
My number two is Jurassic Park.
That's wonderful.
And my
Friendship
number
intact.
there you go. And my number one is the Imperial
Chaos.
March from Empire Strikes Back.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take that.
I give you credit for the Star Wars aspect of it, but yeah. So Empire of the Sun, as much as I love it, it just didn't make the list.
Yeah, no worries.
That's one of the problems I've had, and obviously many of my guests have had over the course of the season. There's so many to choose from in some of these that it's very difficult, and you have to leave stuff on the cutting room floor that don't
Yeah.
necessarily deserve to be there. I'm a big fan also of the JFK soundtrack. I love that theme.
Yeah. I
As I
think.
said, I like Empire of the Sun, but not enough that it would have made the top five with all of these. And Jaws also just barely missed it.
Sure, that happens. Like you said, this to me, I think, was the easiest for my top five. Joining was easy one to do, just because of how little I pay attention to scores. So it's like, which ones do I remember? Like Jurassic Park, Home Alone, Jaws. Okay, great. It's like
Okay.
Superman isn't a franchise that I care that much about. So it was easy to like, hey, I don't have to include that one. That's one of his iconic scores that I can just ignore. That's not on my list.
Okay, that's fair enough. Okay, so now we go to the next thing. Which are the top five movie themes from all of my guests? Now I had 38 guests this season, which I think is a record.
Okay. Now, have you differentiated between which Star Wars films, if someone has picked the theme for
No.
Empire?
No.
Okay,
So
great.
therefore, Empire Strikes Back has its own and Star Wars has its own. If I would have put them
Oh, I see.
together, it would have blasted everything away.
Yes, damn. Okay. Well, I'm just going to stick with the list I had was Superman at number five, Home Alone at number four, Raiders, for which I'm just classing all Indiana Jones at number three, Jurassic Park at number two, and then Star Wars at number one, for which I was classing all Star Wars.
Okay,
If I'm going to
understandable.
differentiate that, then I don't know.
Okay,
I'm
well,
not sure
again,
how that would.
you got four out of five there.
Okay.
Okay, Home Alone does not appear there at all. Okay.
Home Alone should be in there. Is the one that I'm missing a different Star Wars film?
No.
Okay. Oh, well.
No,
Fine then.
you're missing a film that Richard would stop being friends with you.
Oh, Jaws was on there for the group. Okay, fine. I mean, I think it was in my top five.
Nope, it was not.
No? Okay, well,
No.
that's a shame.
Your top five was Harry Potter, Star Wars, Home Alone, Raiders, and then Jurassic Park. Right.
Sure. Okay, well, if Richard is listening to this, Jaws is number six.
So number one is the Star Wars theme, just the Star Wars on its own, with 95 points. Then followed by Raiders of the Lost Ark, which has 87 points. Okay,
Okay.
just to tell you that The Last Crusade has only 2 points. So it's
Sure.
not as if that
Fine.
really would have added or made any big difference for Raiders there. Jurassic Park was number three with 64 points.
Not enough, but fine. I'll take it.
All right. Jaws is number four with 52 points.
Okay.
And Superman was number five with 51 points. The
So
difference of one
I got two in the right
point.
place, even.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yes, we did.
That's great.
And The Empire Strikes Back is number six on the list with 33 points. So had we
Okay.
added Empire and Star Wars
Yeah.
together,
It would still win.
it would have been very far ahead of the pack. So yeah, okay. All right, next we will move to Tom Hanks Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Okay, how
Okay.
many different Tom Hanks movies do you think are listed on this?
I think it's probably more than there were John Williams films. Actually, let's say 30.
40.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, there are 40 different movies that are listed here under Tom Hanks' movies.
Okay.
And in this one, you don't have to worry about sequels. Well, actually, oh, you do, but whatever.
Yes, there's a
I
bunch of
didn't
Toy
put
Stories.
them together, so that's fine.
Okay, so your top five, I'm gonna. This is just a real scattershot approach to this because I didn't know it all. So number five, Forrest Gump. Number four, Philadelphia. Number three, Captain Phillips. Number two, Castaway. And number one, Saving Private Ryan. A film I think you like.
Do I?
It's come up now and then.
Maybe 169 times, something like that. Okay, of that, you have three on the list.
More than I expected. So the two that are not on there, Captain Phillips
Correct.
and Philadelphia.
Correct. Very good, Jay. My number five is League of Their Own.
Okay.
Okay. My number four is Forrest Gump. My number three is Saving Private Ryan.
Okay.
My number two is Apollo 13.
Oh, 13, of course, of course.
And my number one Tom Hanks film is Castaway.
Castaway, sure.
Yes.
Oh, 13, I'm furious. Should have immediately thought of
Well, I'm not Jim, but still,
Yeah, but still.
or Chris. I had both of them on there, so they both helped with the adding those numbers in.
Sure.
Even though
Okay.
Jim only gave it as his number two.
But still, I mean, there's a lot of Tom Hanks films that would appeal to Jim.
Yes.
I think.
Uh,
So
that
hence,
that that thing you do, obviously.
indeed. Yes, there we go.
Which is
Minus
why
points for directing.
that was his number one.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So what how do you think the overall tally went with these?
I don't think that thing you do is in the overall tally. It came up more often
And
than I
you would
thought it
be
was going
correct. So you would be correct. I will even tell you how many points that thing you do got. It got a total of 16 points.
Sure. Okay. That's quite a lot.
Well,
Given it's not a
considering
film,
that number
not a film
six,
starring.
that's right, number six has 38 points. So,
Sure. Yeah.
just
Okay.
to give you that. And number one has an 81 points. So, we're talking about any
Okay.
movie that was between 81 and 38 is gonna hit the top five.
Okay. I'm editing my list in real time. I had Captain Phillips on the list, but I don't think that's going to be enough. I'm going to put Castaway at number five, A League of Their Own at number four, Big at number three, Forrest Gump at number two, and Saving Private Ryan number one.
You
I think
fell again,
that's.
Jay. You got four out of
Oh.
five.
I'm taking that as a win, not a fail.
No,
Four out
because
of five.
no, I'm saying you failed because you once again didn't talk about Apollo 13.
I see. Okay. Well, let's switch out Apollo 13 for A League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own is. Ah, you're taking that one out. Yes, and you would be correct. Okay. A
Okay.
League of Their Own is number six with 38 points.
Oh, so I was pretty good at getting the
Yeah.
sixth one. Yeah.
That's
Okay.
fine. That's fine. Number five was Big with 47 points.
That should be way higher.
Castaway has
Big
48
three.
points. Forrest Gump, 50. Apollo 13, 51.
Oh, that's close.
Okay, so again, that's really close between all of those. And number one. Saving Private Ryan
Sure.
with
As
81 points.
always, your list is biased because it's people that want to come on and talk about Saving Private Ryan. Of course, they're going to rank
Okay, so you're saying that if we were to
it
take it, if we were to take that one out, so then all the others are relatively in the same area.
No, I just think Saving Private Ryan is more likely to get votes on a podcast dedicated to Saving Private Ryan.
But I put it as my number three.
Yeah.
It's not like
But it's still in your top five. I don't, but like, fine. It's fine. It's okay. Semeraran is a great film. It should be on this list.
Right. So
Okay.
let's go to the next one.
World War II Wednesday.
World War II. How many different movies
Okay.
do you think are on this list?
I think this is probably one of the most populous lists you've ever done on this show because there's so many World War II films.
I think so too.
So, how many guesses did you say you had?
38.
38. So 38 times 5 is 190. You can not have 190 films because a lot of people going to have said Saving Private Ryan. I'm going to say you've probably got something like 85 on this list, maybe.
80.
80, okay, great.
But
For
again,
your
because the field is so broad, the points are relatively low.
Yes, I imagine there are a couple that have a spike that have quite a few votes on them, but we'll get there. So first, your top five. I'm back to saying Empire of the Sun as your number five, like I did earlier. Number four, The Best Years of Our Lives, and then your top three is entirely based on what films you have covered on this show and are planning to cover on this show possibly. So number three, A Bridge on the River Kwai. Number two, Saving Private Ryan. Number one, The Great Escape. And if those three are not your top three in that order, then you're doing something wrong with this podcast because you're picking films in the wrong order.
Okay, fair enough, okay, so you got 3 out of 5 that you did.
Only
Okay.
okay,
Sorry, sorry,
fine.
sorry, yeah, sorry, I apologize. You got 4 out of 5. You got four out of five.
Okay.
Yeah. Empire of the Sun is the only one not on the list.
Sure.
Your order is slightly off. So Best Years of Our Lives is my number five. And
Okay.
that hurts me to put that so low. Yeah. Because I
I know
love
you love
that
that
movie.
film. You love that film I'd never heard of before the Movies by Minute Project.
Okay. And there you go. Well, no, you had heard of it because I told you I loved it, and therefore that's how you got me interested in this, because you knew that it was a movie
I
that I
see.
enjoyed. So you
But
did
it's not,
somehow,
yeah.
you might not have
It's,
seen
yeah.
it, but you knew about it.
Sure, okay.
Okay. My number four. Again, this really hurts me, is Bridge on the River Kwai.
Okay.
Okay. My number three is The Great Escape.
See, then, okay. No, I'll let you finish. Then
Okay,
I'll tell you where you're wrong.
my number two is Saving Private Ryan.
Okay.
And what do you think my number one is?
I initially had The Longest Day down as number five instead of Empire of the Sun, but all you did was complain about The Longest Day over this
I didn't
season.
complain about it.
That's
I
how
said my
it's
biggest
not
complaint.
long enough. It's too
My
short.
biggest complaint was it wasn't
So
long enough. That's not really a complaint.
that can't be your number one. If you've put Band of Brothers as your number one World War II film, I'm gonna be furious.
I did not. I did not,
Okay.
even though it does deserve to be in the top five, but I unlike my guests, I do follow my rules.
Okay. Dunkirk. What was number one?
What was the mistake that you made on the Maestro Monday?
That was so long ago.
And we're not talking about Superman.
No. Oh, I didn't write that one down. I can't remember what my mistake was on the stream one day. I've already forgotten. I moved on. It's not Apollo 13. That wouldn't count
No.
as a World War II film. Oh, Schindler's List. Schindler's List, of course. Schindler's
Schindler's
List.
List. That's right.
Okay.
You see, and that's a movie that I can never do movies by minute. So,
You could.
would you be on it? Would you
I wouldn't listen.
come on it?
I'd be
You
on it,
wouldn't
but I
listen.
wouldn't listen.
Exactly. Trust me, I have a lot to say about it. There's no question about it.
The history of red dresses.
Yes, exactly. I understand your complaint that why is Saving Private Ryan above The Great Escape? In my defense, I think what you're going to say is because that was the first movie that I did. Okay. And partially the reason that I did that was because of my partner at the time, who didn't want to do Bridge on the River Kwai. Those are my two choices for what I wanted to do first.
Sure.
And I went with The Great Escape. Now, you know better than anyone that I've always loved Saving Private Ryan, and the only re there was a reason why I never thought to do this movies by minute until my good friend Jake Hewitt convinced me that otherwise. Okay, so now you can explain to me why you think I'm wrong by putting.
Well, I have already come around on my own opinion, because you have to allow for recency bias. Like, you have just covered, been like delved into the world of Saving Private Ryan. It's so close to you for has been for the past 169 episodes. So for that to now be a preferred film to The Great Escape does make sense. And you know, opinions can change. It may have been since you covered The Great Escape, you've now decided you love Saving Private Ryan a little bit more, and then in the future, those two might switch places again. Opinions can ebb and flow, so it was wrong of me to say your opinion was wrong.
No, you're allowed to say that. That's fine.
But yeah, I did debate Schindler's List in my head. I know that it is really, but in my head, it's not a war film because it's not like actively at war. It's kind of during war.
Correct,
But I get why people pick it. That's absolutely fine.
right. I mean,
It's just, yeah.
again, when you go to the rankings, so let's go to everyone's rankings. You know, tell me what you think also there.
Okay. I did not have Schindler's List in this. Maybe I should have done. Oh yeah, I'm gonna put it in. Okay, so five, Empire of the Sun again, because it came up far more often than I think it might have done. Which actually, I've watched Empire of the Sun since I was last on
I
this show,
know, I
and
know. I saw
I
your
thought it was
review.
good. Yeah,
Yeah.
I
Just so
yeah,
you know,
I've
there's
I
only
did.
it only got a total of 2 points.
I'm not. Then I will change my mind. That's not number five. Number five is The Thin Red Line. I don't know. Number four, Schindler's List. Number three, Inglourious Basterds. Number two, The Great Escape. Number one, Saving Private Ryan.
Okay, once again, you got 4 out of 5.
Okay, I'll take it.
Okay. The Thin Red Line, not even close.
I could.
Thin Red Line
That's
got a total
fine.
of 5 points.
Sure. And it's maybe five more than it deserves. I'm not a
Yeah,
fan.
well, Mark gave it 4, so
He did. I listened. he likes Terrence Malick far more. As we had a recent episode of the podcast where I said Rennie Harlin was a better director than Terrence Malick, and he nearly exploded.
Yeah, I'm not a Terrence Malick fan.
I tried to explain that Terrence Malick is a bad director because he doesn't know he's going to film before he films it. He wastes everyone's time by filming a bunch of stuff and then throwing it away, which to me means he's a bad director. But there we
Okay,
go.
fair enough.
Edit before you start shooting. Anyway.
And The Longest Day got a total of 5 points also. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, again, there were a lot of movies that we discussed that sometimes were honorable mentions and things like that. Maybe that got you a little
Well,
confused
and
why you
like
went.
some people come on and they give you an entirely unique list of five films no one else has ever heard of,
That's
and
correct.
they're not gonna impact the overall ranking at all.
Yes,
So,
David did that. David was the first of numerous people who did that.
which I mean, that's great. That's highlighting these lesser known films for people to pick up on. It doesn't help me at all when I'm doing this list.
No, not at all. Not in the least.
So which film
Okay,
needs to replace Thin Red Line?
so number 5 was Inglourious Basterds with 22 points.
I'm surprised it's that low. I think that film was great. It's my
Bridge on
favorite
the River
Tarantino.
Kwai. With 23 points.
Ah, for sure, required. Okay.
Okay, Schindler's List with 27 points. The Great Escape with 37 points. And Saving Private Ryan with 80 points.
A clear winner.
Well, again, it goes back to the Star Wars. Star Wars was also a clear winner. And so was Saving Private Ryan in Tom Hanks. So, And Band of Brothers only got 5 points for that one time that I allowed it in. That doesn't count.
Yes, agreed.
Yes. Number 6 was Dunkirk with 16 points.
I nearly put Dunkirk on the list.
And number
I know it was on mine, but
7 is The Best Years of Our Lives with 14 points. Which
okay,
just
that's.
goes which goes to show how low the count is for most of the films that are on this list.
Yeah, quite the spread on
Yeah, I
this.
mean Patton has 13 points.
Okay,
And it was
ridiculous.
given
Fine.
a 5, a 4, a 3, and a 1.
Almost had the full set. That's frustrating.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah,
Wow.
there was nobody who gave it a 3. Oh no, sorry, there's no one who gave it a 2.
Not two.
Again, this was it because it was so broad. You know, when you look at it just spread out across the whole way here, with, as you said, the idea of Saving Private Ryan, you know, being that this is the movie that everyone came to talk about, it permeated quite well. How many fives do you think you got?
How many points did you got? 80 points overall.
80
Okay.
points.
Okay. So I'll say 10.
And you would be right on spot. It got 10 fives.
Hey.
It got five fours. And three threes and 1 1. You know, again, missing the number two. Nobody put it in their two spot. So interesting. Okay, now we will move on to the final one this season. Filmmaker Friday. With
Yes, top five Spielbergs.
top five Steven Spielberg films. Again, how many movies do you think are on this list?
Well, I'd really tried. I had intended to have filled in all of my Spielberg blind spots before this episode, and I'm frustrated. So I still ha it's been a very busy couple of weeks for me leading up to this episode. I moved house yesterday. As Rob can attest from my background, I haven't unpacked yet.
Yes.
So I still have Amistad and Munich to watch. I'm frustrated that I haven't watched those two yet. But I did manage to cross off Empire of the Sun, Always, Hook, Sugarland Express, 1941. I crossed off quite a few of my blind spots, so I'm happy about that. I don't think they're going to impact the top five all that much.
No, neither of the two movies that you mentioned are on the top five.
Okay, but I mean, I don't think the gaps that I've filled in are going to impact the top five all that much. I can't see
No.
Sugarland Express rocketing. Sugarland Express is great, but it's not going to rocket up the charts. So your top five. This is all a guess. Number five, Catch Me If You Can. Number four, I did put Empire of the Sun in there, but then I think maybe you just confirmed that it's not in there from what you just said. Number three, Jaws. Number two, Raiders. Number one, Saving Private Ryan. So I'm going to swap out Empire of the Sun and put in Jurassic Park.
Okay, so my number five is Jaws.
Okay.
You got that right.
All right.
My number four is Jurassic Park.
All right. Oh, in the right spot as well.
My number three is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay.
My number two is Saving Private
Schindler's
Ryan.
List. Number one is Schindler's List. I know I've
And
got it
number one
again.
is Schindler's List.
A film I refuse to remember.
Okay. All right. Well, again, it's on three of my four top fives. What can I tell you?
This is on me at this point.
Yeah. At this point,
I
you could have made changes along the way, but
should just written Schindler's List in block capitals at the top of my page. It's just
there you
like, remember this film? Remember it?
Correct. Okay. So, how do you think everyone voted on this one?
I didn't guess how many of the films. Sorry, I skipped over that.
Oh, okay. I mean, I did ask you, but
That's you
you went
did, and then
on a
I
diatribe about
told an anecdote, and then I told an anecdote no one cared about.
I did.
So I'm gonna say similar to John Williams, which was 28. So I'll say 28 again for Spielberg.
Jay, perfect. That's
Great.
exactly 28.
There we go. I will forget films I've mentioned. I remember numbers.
That's
Never
why you're an engineer.
forgotten a PIN number. So the top five communal Spielberg films. I'm aware Schindler's List exists. I'm remembering that it exists. I've not put it in the top five. Number five, E.T. Because I think a lot of your guests think that film was better than I do. Number four, I've put Saving Private Ryan. The lowest I put it in any of these lists. Number three, Raiders. Number two, Jaws. And number one, a little film I like to call Jurassic Park.
You only got one of those out of order.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
E.T.?
And you missed it by two spots of where it should be.
Okay.
Oh,
Okay.
sorry. No, you know what? Forget it. I take that back. Because you missed one also.
The
You got
Hollis
one
and the
out of order,
Shambles.
but you
Yeah.
missed one. E.T. is not on the list.
Good. Grant. E.T.'s fine. People don't come at me for E.T. It's just I don't love it.
Yeah, what's on the list instead of E.T.?
Schindler's List.
Yes.
Sure, of course it is. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine. Okay. Whatever at this point. It's like that should have been in the Tom Hanks list as well for all the amount I've missed it.
Well, come on.
Yeah,
You'd think
again,
you would have learned
it's a
by now.
great film. It's a great like Schindler's List is a great film, but
I understand why it's not a film you want to rewatch. I do get that. That's fine.
I have seen it a few times. I think I've seen it at least three times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, start getting ready for season 26. No.
I can't guarantee I'll rewatch it for that. I'll rewatch the 6 minutes I'll be on.
What do you mean? I'm putting you on for everything.
No, I can. I Rob, I don't have to show up. At this point, you don't know where I live.
Neither do you.
True. Oh God. I feel very unmoored at the moment as to where I should be at any given moment.
Yes. Sorry about that.
It's fine. Listeners, it's fine. My situation is fine. It's just in a state of flux, but everything is okay.
All right. So number five is Schindler's List with 42 points.
Okay.
Number four is Saving Private Ryan with 60 points.
On the money.
Number three is a little film that you call Jurassic Park at 70. Raiders of the
That's
Lost Ark
disappointing.
Raiders of the Lost Ark has 89 points.
Okay.
But if you want to include in Last Crusade and Temple of Doom, so you would add another 23 points to that.
What, how does that affect things if you then also include the Lost World Jurassic Park?
You get another 2 points. I don't know if that really helps. Sorry. Well,
No, it's fine.
then again, Temple of Doom got 1 point, so it's not,
Yeah,
and that
sure.
was Mark. You know, again, Mark
Yes,
is always
you
the
didn't
one
need
who
to tell
bugs
me. Mark's nuts.
me. Well, he did give you 2 points for Last Crusade also.
It's great.
Right, so Raiders had 89 points on its own. And Jaws had 92 points. So again, it's only a question of 3 points between
Yeah.
number one and number two. Now, number six was actually tied.
Okay.
Any guesses as to what the two movies are that tied?
Is one of them E.T.?
Yes.
Okay. And Catch Me If You Can? No?
Catch Me If You Can
Okay.
only had 15 points.
Okay. Spielberg's done a lot of films. Is the problem? Schindler's List? No. Let's see. I don't know. Minority Report? That came up quite a bit,
Nope.
if I recall. No, I don't know. What is it?
Minority Report had a total of 10 points.
Oh, okay. It came up a lot, but low down, I think, on people's lists. Yeah. I don't know. What am I missing?
You are missing Close Encounters.
Yeah, that's the film I don't care about. That's the like this movie classic, along with
Yeah,
E.T. It just never
I'm
really
not
hit
much
with
of a
me.
fan. I'm not much of a fan of Close Encounters either.
I've tried a bunch of times. It just doesn't hit. Yeah. It's never the film I want it to be, and that's always for me.
Right.
So I've stopped trying at this point.
Okay. So now the only thing left is for me to tell you what my top five are of my top eight, since you always ask me that.
Oh yes, I had forgotten. Yes,
You did forget. Oh, wow.
I did. I did tell you. I have a. I told you because I said it to you earlier. I have a little list. I went to my. There we go. Rob's rankings. I have a little notepad file. So, this is your eighth season. Your previous ranking, you had Die Hard number one, then The Great Escape, then Planes, Trains, It's a Wonderful Life, When Harry Met Sally, with Die Hard 2 and Die Hard with a Vengeance not making it onto your top five.
Okay,
How is Saving Private Ryan
so
going to affect this?
things have changed a little bit here,
Okay.
slightly. The three movies that didn't make the list are When Harry Met Sally, Die Hard 2, and Die Hard 3.
Sure.
Okay, my number five would be Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Okay.
My number four is It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay.
My number three is Die Hard.
Ooh, controversial.
Yes. My number two is The Great Escape.
Oh, wow. This is a real upset.
And my number one is Saving Private Ryan. Now, last month, I actually watched all eight of these movies again.
Great.
You know, to refresh myself. So, you know, if you want to talk about recency bias and things like that, because I've delved into this, I can understand that. But on the other hand, you know, I also have all eight of these movies fresh in my mind. And as you know, after you've dissected a movie like this and you then rewatch it, so you see it with completely different eyes also. And even, you know, eight seasons later, I still see The Great Escape very differently every single time that I watch it. And I really, really enjoyed rewatching it this time. I don't know if it was connected to the fact that, you know, this is another World War II movie or anything like that, but it's just the idea that you know, it fascinated me to rewatch it.
Okay. That's good. I did have a, sorry, I should have done this at the start of the episode, but I did have a couple of points of feedback on your coverage of Saving Private Ryan, if I could briefly mention those. Firstly, you kept on referring to the character Tom Hanks plays as Miller. And every time you do it, I always go like, wait, who is Miller? Because they never say his name. And every time you're like, oh, Miller's this, like, every single time it's like, Miller, I have to take a minute to think, like, oh, Tom Hanks. Because it's just, he doesn't have a name. He's Captain. He doesn't really have it. I know it's on the gravestone at the end.
They refer to him as Captain Miller. Yes, they
not,
do.
But like barely. No, the not for much of the film if they do. So that's just always been a little like. Yeah, okay.
Well, no one calls him John. That's for sure not.
Sure. Yeah. And secondly, you really keep laying into Upham and blaming him for the deaths of Mellish and Miller.
Of course.
But it's they're not his fault. He doesn't do anything to cause those deaths.
He caused the events to transpire the way they did, and therefore that caused those deaths.
No, disagree.
You have the right to disagree. I mean, again, Mellish died because Upham didn't come into the room.
No. Mellish died because a Nazi stabbed him in the heart.
but Upham was right there.
But Upham could not save him. There's nothing Upham could have done to have saved him. Upham did the best he could with the tools he had available. He was scared. He was not. There was nothing Upham could have done to have saved Mellish in that point. If he could have done it, he would have done it. But he couldn't. But he didn't, so he couldn't.
Okay.
So I don't think that death is, you can blame Upham for that at all. It's frustrating to watch because other people in that situation might have been able to go up the stairs and do something to the situation. They might have died as well. Who knows? But Upham did not have that ability. In terms of Miller, yes, Steamboat Willie.
Wait, who's Miller? I can't remember.
Some guy. I know Steamboat Willie killed him, sure. And earlier in the film, Upham convinces them to let Steamboat Willie go. These are two separate events. You could argue, yeah. So if Steamboat Willie hadn't been released, yes, he would then not have been in Rommel and shot Miller. Doesn't mean somebody else wouldn't have. Maybe if they had killed Steamboat Willie at that radar station, someone else, some other German soldier, would have been put into Steamboat Willie's place during the Rommel battle, and Jackson might have survived. Or Horvath. Mike, you can't say someone did want... It's not... Causation does not mean correlation. Correlation does not mean causation. So it's been a little frustrating to be like, oh, because Upham did this. Tom Hanks died in a film. Is it? No. No. What, okay. In filmmaking, yeah. So it's just, that's something that I Upham is my favorite character. So I just,
he is.
I love Upham. He's, I think, an interesting character. I think Jeremy Davies is a fantastic job portraying him. And then listening to you and the likes of DJ come on saying how much you hate Upham and want him to be crushed underneath a tank. It's like, no, he's great. Riven, you should hate Riven. Riven's a dick.
I like Riven.
I know.
Oh, well. Okay, what other gripes? What other
That's it.
gripes
That's
do you have?
the two. That's the two that I had. I'm just going to give those two off my chest.
Okay, I'm glad you're able to get it off So there's just a few things that I want to talk about in the that things that I found on IMDb talking about things that we never discussed throughout the course of the movie. Most of these are stuff that I would never would have come across anyway. So there's a scene which we talked about a few weeks ago where one of the characters basically flies through the air and goes through a window. You remember that one? The defenestrated
Defenestrating, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I knew that word before you taught it to Heather. And I was surprised Heather didn't know it because like Mace Windu gets defenestrated in Star Wars.
Yes.
So he gets Mace Windu out the window.
That's correct. So that particular scene was performed by a stuntman named Mark Cass, and he's the first person to ever on film do a sideward air ram explosion that propelled his character through a glass window without using any wires.
Wow.
I thought that was really cool to mention that fact.
Just on the topic of stunt kind of records, Final Destination Bloodlines apparently has it includes the stunt for the oldest person to be set on fire in
ooh.
Film.
You just give that away. Someone's going to get set on fire. There you go.
It's a very, very minor part of the film, but I like I was reading an interview where they brought this acclaimed stunt person out of retirement to set her on fire.
I mean, the stunt person was the oldest stunt person.
Yes, yeah. The
That's
stunt person is because I can't remember her name, but she's like in her 70s.
Oh wow!
They brought her out of retirement just to set her on fire. Yeah, that amused me.
Very cool. All right. The filming of the movie actually took them only 61 days. They filmed from June 27th, 1997 to August 27th, 1997, which was basically 2 months of filming. And the beach scene itself took 25 of those days.
Wow. Sorry, yeah. Yvette Ferguson is the name of the actor, the stunt person in Bloodlines. Oh, let's get her name recorded.
Okay.
She's in Time Cop as well. Oh, hey. Deep Rising. Love Deep Rising.
Nice. There you go. You found
Sorry,
you
tangent.
Found some. No, that's okay. Tangenting is fine. So when I'm not sure if I mentioned this at the time or not. I might have because it sort of sounds a little familiar. But back when they were showing all the letters that were being typed, when they did the War Department stuff.
Yeah,
so there
all the
is
typewriters.
Someone,
yeah.
That's right. There's someone named Kevin Cavanaugh that is apparently the assistant art director that they have a letter about that he died.
Oh,
it just sounds very familiar that I might have discussed this, but I don't
the
recall.
The name rings a bell.
Exactly. So I'm not sure if I discussed that at the time or not. Another interesting thing here is that apparently at least according to IMDb, they've clarified the question that I keep asking about the letter. Is it the same letter that keeps going from pocket to pocket, or is each time someone taking a letter from somebody, from that person who died?
Rewriting it, yeah.
Not just rewriting it. So you had Caparzo, who died, and Wade took the letter, and then when Wade died, Miller took out the letter from him. But the question is, did he take out Wade's letter or did he take out his own, did he take out Caparzo's letter? And then, later on when Miller dies, so Ryben then takes the letter also. So so what it says here is that every single person who inherits Caparzo's letter end up dying. Caparzo dies and then Wade and then Miller and Ryben then takes it out. And, we don't know what happens to Ryben. So it is possible that he was able to deliver the letter back to Caparzo's father or not.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's some kind of cursed letter because we have to remember they are at war. And there
yes.
are a lot of people without the letter around them also dying.
I wouldn't go through that either. Again, I'm still of the belief that the letter is not solely Caparzo's letter, meaning that he took a letter from Wade. And then, maybe they were together or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just add another one to the paperclip.
Correct.
It's
Now,
giving
apparently
to it.
there were 10 different revisions in the script. In the original draft, Mellish and Caparzo didn't even exist, and obviously, therefore, they didn't have the scene where Caparzo's character dies, and there's no stabbing of Mellish. In the second version, so Miller's character was a tough as nails by the book officer, not humanized at all with the way that we see him in this movie. Steamboat Willie didn't exist for a long time. Upham is originally killed in one of the first
Oh,
drafts
no.
during the final battle.
It's the best.
So we could have gone back to that. I don't know. DJ
Yeah.
would be happy. Miller, Captain Miller, Tom Hanks, originally survived the final battle. The movie actually ends with Miller telling Ryan about who the men are that died to try and find him.
Okay.
And they revealed to us that Jackson was a preacher.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
And then in another version of the draft, once they added Mellish, so he was shot instead of being stabbed the way that he was stabbed there. And okay, so that's all from the trivia. I found a whole bunch of goofs also, which were a few, not too many. They talk a lot here about the fact that the about the Ryan brothers never being together after that night when Dan goes off to war.
And then you
You
have
know,
the
even though
photo.
like, you have the photo, but there's actually something that I missed that I didn't pay attention to was that in the beginning, when they're telling the story about why they when they're telling the story to Marshall, they basically say they were together until the Sullivan brothers incident, and then they separated them,
Oh, yeah.
which is also, something that connects them. They do mention here the fact that there is no dead body outside of the door after
Yep,
Henderson
after
and Miller
Mellish,
shoot
yeah.
the door. I mentioned this at the very beginning of today's episode as a joke to you, but the soldier who has his arm shot blown off at the beginning,
Yes.
apparently he has he's missing his right arm, right? And
Yeah.
he picks up a left arm.
I'm gonna say that's not a goof in terms of the filmmaking. That is an error that that soldier has made, and he has picked up the wrong
I would
arm.
agree. I would agree.
He's pretty like maybe his arm got completely blown apart, and he's like, "Well, I need an arm.
It's
This
okay.
one seems spare. I have two right arms. I don't know, or two left arms."
And then there's another goof that there's an instance again. This goes. This is a goof of a character. The fact that they always said that Ryan was in Baker Company, and when they go get Mendelsohn, they say, "Hey, doesn't Mendelsohn hang out with Ryan from C Company instead of B Company?"
Yeah.
But that's a slight error on the character's part.
Yeah, everything's been misheard here, B for C. They
Exactly.
rhyme, yeah.
B, C. It depends on how you count, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, makes sense. Okay, so that's all I really have to say about this movie, I guess. Did you have
Okay.
anything else you wanted to add?
I didn't. We normally I don't know if you wanted to still do this or not. I don't mind either way. The length of the episodes and how many minutes of
Oh, yeah,
recording
of
you've
course.
done.
Oops, I forgot that. Yes, we will
Don't
do
have.
that.
I
So.
didn't. I didn't make any predictions for these. I don't know. But I just know that you like
Okay,
to
you're 100%
spell that
right.
out.
100% right. Okay, so we just have one thing left. We like to talk about how many minutes we talked about each of these movies. So Jay, where do you think this one fits among the eight
Well,
movies that we've done,
I think
both in episode length and season length?
season length, this has to be top just because of the number of minutes, I think. It's the longest film you've covered
First of all,
since
that's
The
not
Great
true. Since The
Escape.
Great Escape, yes.
Yeah, but The Great Escape episodes were shorter.
Yes, because there were no games.
So there were no games. So this has got to be the longest by some margin. I would say. And episode length, I think this is probably not gonna be your longest episode. That means, well, Some of them have been your longest episodes because you've had Corey Johnson on, who was
And
saying to listen to him.
Theo, and I had Theo on also. Yeah. No,
yes.
Alan's episodes aren't as long. Yeah.
So I'm gonna say this will probably fall not in the middle, slightly higher than the middle. So these aren't gonna be your longest episodes, but they're gonna be like third, maybe.
Wait, third, and then put third,
but the
third
longest duration
from the top
overall.
Or third from the bottom?
From the top. Third,
okay.
Third longest.
Okay. So let's start with the episode length. So first of all, the longest episode length so far was Die Hard 2, which were 37.85 minutes per episode.
Okay.
The second longest was It's a Wonderful Life with 37.13 minutes for each episode.
Okay.
The third longest was Die Hard with 36.20 minutes per episode.
Okay, I see. I should have factored in you didn't really have script comparisons for this one. That's what tends to...
Yes, that's true.
Yeah,
also. All right, number four was When Harry Met Sally, 35.83
Oh, so it's there for the bottom.
Per episode.
Okay. Okay.
Next, number five is Die Hard with a Vengeance, 35.02 minutes per episode.
Okay.
And then we get this movie. This is actually
from the bottom.
Number six, third from the bottom, exactly. 34.52 minutes per episode. All right, followed by Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which was 33.8, which still surprises me that it's so close between these two. You know, between this movie, between my longest and shortest movies, or one of the longest. And
They're
shortest movies.
Both movies about traveling.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And then the lowest, the shortest was The Great Escape, which was 22.94 minutes for each episode. Again, I was just, getting into my stride, I guess.
Finding your feet, yeah.
Yes, finding my feet. Now, when it comes to the minutes, or the how long we talked about these movies, so you are correct, this is by far the longest. If I'm giving us an hour for this episode, so we've talked for a total... What?
I think we're over that at this point, but sure.
We're over that, yes. Okay, so... no, we're slightly over. We're not that far
over.
Yeah,
we had some preamble before we started.
Yeah, we're not that far over. So it is 96.66 hours I've talked about this movie. Okay.
That's a
what
long
do you
time.
Think? What do you think is number two?
Oh, God. So the next, I'm trying to think the length of it. You've given me all the numbers now. I should be able to figure it out.
I don't know if you wrote them down or not.
Die Hard 2 probably is next then. If that's your longest episode, then that's a relatively long film.
Nope. That's actually number
really?
Three. Number three.
Okay. Is it The Great Escape though?
Nope. Nope. It's a Wonderful Life we talked about for 81 hours. Die Hard we talked about 79.65 hours.
Okay.
Die Hard 2, 78.23 hours. Die Hard 3, 75.3 hours. The Great Escape, 66.9 hours. Followed by When Harry Met Sally, 57.33. And then the shortest amount of time that I've spent talking about a movie is Planes, Trains, Automobiles with 52.4 hours.
Short movie, yeah.
But season 9 is going to be up there with them because of the fact that it's a slightly different season. So why don't we actually talk about that? Because now that we're
sure.
finished today, Jay will be back for
I will.
Three episodes.
Only three.
Only three. Only three. I've changed things around for season 9 because I decided that I need to continue with the Die Hard tradition, but I need to do it slightly different because I'm not the biggest fan of either Die Hard 4.0/ Live Free or Die Hard or A Good Day to Die Hard. So what I decided to do is I'm going to do something slightly different. I'm going to be doing 5 minutes at a time, and I'm going to have a combined season using both of those movies, and I'm sort of unofficially calling it Die Hard Duo. I know that Jay doesn't like that.
It's fine when you say it. It looks weird when you write it down. because it looks German. But that's, and again, that's just me. I think other people think it looks fine, but just I see it as, I don't know. But that's
Okay,
fine. It's fine.
that's fair. That's fair. I will be talking about Die Hard 4 for the next 26 episodes, and then followed by that, we will do 21 episodes of A Good Day to Die Hard, each of them 5 minutes at a time. Obviously, because we're talking about 5 minutes instead of 1 minute, those episodes are going to be slightly longer.
Just a little.
Averaging around an hour each episode, so the chances are that when 47 episodes from now, when we discuss that movie will have the longest number of minutes, longest number of time for each minute, but it very well might have the shortest amount of time talking about the
Well,
movie. Who knows?
it depends. Yeah, if you because if you go by time per minute, not really. If it's about an hour for 5 minutes, then it's only 12 minutes per minute. If you say like 12,
Correct.
so
That's true,
yeah.
but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the way the season
Sure,
goes.
per episode. Yeah, okay, fine.
Yes, you're right. But as you know, as being on 3 minutes, being on three episododes, those 5 minutes, we go into more detail at the beginning and then we rush through the rest. Yeah.
Standard.
Exactly. That's the way it is. So it's top heavy, I guess you could say, from that perspective.
Sure.
But all in all, I enjoyed doing this season very much. It was so I once again want to thank you, Jay, for giving me the impetus to go and do this season, to do it
Happy
at
to
Saving Private Ryan.
help.
I took you off the list, from that one.
Thank you.
So. I want to quickly thank once again every one of my guests this season. Thank you to Alan Sanders, David Brook, Simon Appleton, Walt Murray, Tierney Steele, Hal Bryan, Emily Graziola, DJ Valentine, Nick Rehak, Aaron Neuwirth, Alex Robinson, Eddie O'Hare, Professor Sam Edwards, Niall McGowan, Rebecca Dennison, Todd Liebenow, John Parker, Jim O'Kane, Scott Myers, Duncan Shields, Joe Amadei, Bubba Wheat, Dana Nachman, Travis Bowe, Matthew Simpson, Christian Johnson Taylor, Corey Johnson. I probably should thank Corey again because his episodes were so long. Heather Baxendale, Stephen J. Rubin, Mark Hoffmeyer, Richard Kirkham, Chris Henry, Christopher Ward, George Luz Jr., Theo Bauer, Bill Kimberlin, and Agent Palmer. And obviously, a huge thanks to my opening and closing guest slash co-host, Jay Cluitt. So thank you
Hey,
very
that's
much.
me. You're welcome, Rob. Thank you for putting out another wonderful episode of podcast to listen to. Another series, even.
Another
Yeah.
episode or another season?
No, yes, just the one. I don't tell you which one, but one of these episodes
One of
was
the episodes.
great.
That's
And
awesome.
thank you for that one. I keep forgetting Schindler's List exists.
Yes. Well, you won't forget once I do it minute by minute.
Sure. Yes.
All right. So I will be back tomorrow, surprisingly,
Hey, me too.
with Jay. So until then, actually, I'm not gonna be back tomorrow. What am I talking about? Today's Friday. I will be back on Monday with
Monday,
Jay.
yes.
Yeah,
I'll be
I
back
keep forgetting.
tomorrow.
I'm used to
I'll be here tomorrow. Yeah.
you can be here tomorrow. That's fine. No one will be listening because it won't be. The episode won't be released tomorrow, but that's fine.
I'll be here, don't you
Yes. So
worry.
I'm so used to flowing through to the following day. So yes, I apologize, everyone. I will be back on Monday with Jay as we start a new season and talk about Die Hard 4.0 slash Die Hard Live Free or Die Hard. Hopefully, everyone will have a great weekend. Stay away from those dangerous beaches. And until Monday, burn this.
Earn this. My solitude.